for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, September the 3rd, 1994. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Colonel Speed Wilson, Marine Corps retired, is the speaker of the evening.
I want you to turn with me to Isaiah. Where am I at here? Yeah, I'm turning two pages at once. Isaiah chapter 18. We will introduce Colonel Speed Wilson by reading this chapter in Isaiah. Colonel Speed Wilson, to those of you who are here for the first time, have never met him before, is America's most decorated man of three wars. And Jack Harris, who was here, left this morning, is the most decorated man of World War II. Jack was the moderator for 14 minutes on the opening program of D-Day on CBS. He was supposed to do it in France, but he just couldn't feel up to going over there at this time after what he'd been through there. And so they came to his home in Beckville, Texas, and did it all in down at his house in Beckville, Texas. And so we're honored with Lieutenant Jack Harris and Colonel Speed Wilson to come and minister here the word of the Lord that God's given them, such men of stature in our nation. And we have a nation under God, a nation that is called and ordained of God, and God's got his hand on this nation. God's not going to turn loose of it. He's not going to turn loose of it because there's men and women and boys and girls who stand and declare that Jesus is Lord in America and that they're intercessors in behalf of this nation. And so I'm going to show you who this nation is and that it's in the Bible. And I can find you many, many verses in the Bible that tell us about America. But I'm just going to read you one chapter tonight, and then we'll turn the rest of the evening to Colonel Speed Wilson. Chapter 18 of Isaiah says, "Woe." That word woe is a military word. It means come to attention. It is not a word of distress. It is a word that means pay attention, shape up, and come to attention. That's what that word means. And it says, pay attention, you land that's shadowed with wings. What's our national emblem? The eagle. The eagle is our national. What is it? It's always with outstretched wings. We are the nation shadowed with wings, which is beyond the river of Ethiopia. Beyond the river of Ethiopia, the Nile River, there is no land that is worth anything. Most of it is desert. And you can come from the mouth of the Nile, and you will land in northern Florida and southern South Carolina. That will be where you will land at if you come across there. And that's the first land that's worth any value after you cross the Nile River. That sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes. Now, King James says bulrushes. Some other translations say that. But in the original, it says water-drinking vessel. So we read, that sendeth ambassadors by the sea in water-drinking vessels. Who invented the steamship? A man named Fulton. Where was it tested at? New York, on the Hudson River. God prophesied it right here, saying, go ye swift messengers to a nation that's scattered and peeled. Some of your translations are rightly said, tall and clean shaven. America is known as the tallest people in the world outside of a couple of tribes, small tribes that are tall. But as a general, America has the tallest men in the world. So it's a nation that, and clean shaven, a nation that's tall and clean shaven, a people that's terrible from their beginning. We have been, since we came to this nation and came here in the 13 colonies, we have been a nation from the time that we came against the Great Britain. We have been a nation that all the world was afraid of until we deliberately our leaders deliberately made us a nation that the rest of the world is not afraid of. Here, too, a nation that's meted out and trodden down. What does meted out and trodden down mean? Meted out means that it was surveyed. The Meets and Bounds Act was passed in 1800 to survey this nation and to set a brass stake at the corner of every section. And so this complete nation has been surveyed. No other nation on the face of the earth has been surveyed as this one. And it was prophesied here by Isaiah that this nation would be meted out or surveyed by the Meets and Bounds Act of 1800 and trodden down. They had to trod the whole nation in order to put those surveyor marks in. The nation was trodden completely down. And it says, whose land the rivers have spoiled. Other translations say, whose lands the rivers have divided and quartered. What divides this nation? The Mississippi. What quarters it? The Ohio and the Missouri. God prophesied right there, so you can't mistake what nation or what land he was talking about. This nation is divided and quartered, and no other nation on the face of the earth is divided and quartered. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see when he lifts up an ensign on the mountain. There she is, oh glory. When that's lifted high, the world has paid attention to it. When it's lifted high, when the ensign is lifted up. And when he blows a trumpet, hear. For so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider my dwelling place like a clear heat upon the herbs, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of the harvest. For the harvest, when the bud is perfect, and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs and with pruning hooks, and take away and cut down the branches. The Civil War pruned this nation. They shall be left together unto the fowls of the mountains and the beasts of the earth. The fowls shall summer upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. In that time shall a present be brought unto the Lord of hosts, of a people that's tall and clean-shaven, from a people hereto, a nation that's surveyed and trodden down, whose rivers the lands have quartered and divided, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion, the place of praise. We are a people that is given to praise and to worship and to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God rules and reigns over this nation. And it's our responsibility to be intercessors, to stand in behalf of the nation and bring in remembrance daily that this nation once again shall be turned and stirred by the power of the Holy Ghost, that we shall see a move of God across this land that has never been known since the beginning of this nation. And I declare that it shall come to pass in my day. Colonel Speed Wilson.
Hallelujah. Can you hear now? Well, whoa. A change. What? Did you hear that? Hallelujah. Well, that blow it? We're still on. All right. Last night, I'd like for you to call to your attention that I did not intend for what I said last night to be sold as a tape. It was only an introduction so that you would know why what we say tonight is important, and to establish that we're in a time called the end time. And also, I would suggest if you want to gain a full understanding of what I said last night, and they have the tapes here, the master tapes, to pick up one of these brochures. They're back on the table. There'll be some more stuff. They're free. Don't order them from me. Get them. And each of them are an hour long. Is knowing the times and seasons. That's the feast. And then rapture, prophecy, or heresy, that's a one-hour tape. Blinding doctrines, that's a one-hour tape. And then the mark of the beast, or buying and selling with a number. And tonight, I'm not going to go back over what I've gone before, but if you want to get the introduction of the origins and who these people are and what their objectives are, you can get the next tape, The World Conspiracy. And then after that, there's also one immediately followed, or for a whole hour, we name who they are. You can't begin to understand a football game till you know who's playing on what. You have to be able to identify them. Please pick up one of these, even if you don't buy the tape now. I assure you, one of these days you'll want to know, particularly for those of you that had questions about the mark of the beast. I thought it was very simple, but it's so ingrained in this. As you said, we see everything through our religious glasses, like the rapture. And please pick up one of these. They're free. They're on the back table. And if somebody believes in the rapture, They can make an easy $10,000. Just submit the scriptural basis for it. Praise the Lord. Well, I was sitting there a moment ago praying, Lord, this is not an easy teaching tonight, if you can call it that, because it does sometimes bring fear. And I was so blessed when God spoke to us, and I want to thank the dear brother that was obedient in bringing the message. The message was that this night you will gain understanding, you will no longer walk in darkness nor fear. Praise God. Lord, we accept that, that you have spoken, and what I say tonight will not generate fear. It will simply enlighten, inform, and let us know that we're indeed in the time that we can expect what the Bible calls the time of tribulation. In Jesus' name we pray. And again, Lord, let us say all that you would have said, nothing more, nothing less, and let it be heard the way you would have it heard. You and the New World Order, today being, I believe, the third day of September of the current erroneous dating of 1994, as we pointed out. It's actually from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's 1,997 years since his birth. He was actually born 3 B.C., and we showed that last night, and it's also in the book Rapture Prophecy Heresy. Now, we pointed out last night that nine times in the New Testament you read this, I would not have you ignorant. Well, as I said, if you're ignorant, it's your choice. But God didn't choose for you to be ignorant. Well, the opposite of ignorance would be knowledge. God has a lot to say about knowledge. And this is not knowledge that I will purvey necessarily, but it is knowledge of the Word of God. But it doesn't rule out knowing what's going on. As Dr. Derek Prince points out, that Daniel 12:4 says, in the last times or end times, knowledge will literally explode and there'll be travel as never before. Or have you been on the interstate lately? Or at the airport. 400 million Americans bought an airline ticket last year. Oh, there were 400 million tickets sold. A lot of people flying the same thing with a population of about 230 million. That's like twice the population going somewhere. Much running to and fro. Well, for knowledge, Proverbs 11:9, through knowledge the just shall be delivered. Proverbs 28:2, by a man of understanding and knowledge, his state shall be prolonged. Or the other way around, ignorance, it will be foreshortened. Isaiah 5:13, my people are taken into captivity or slavery because of the lack of knowledge. Isaiah 53:11, by knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Hosea 4:6, you hear all the time, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Well, the New Testament, 2 Peter 1:5. Give all diligence and add to your faith virtue, and unto your virtue add knowledge, and etc. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved. Knowledge does require some effort, and most of us don't want to make the effort, much to our shame. Well, this became rather personal to me during Korea. Well, as I said last night, we had that war. I went out there immediately when the war started and stated it was started the peace talks. We had it won twice for sure and probably three times, and each time we had to blow up our ammunition and withdraw. It made absolutely no sense. So by 1968, I knew we weren't going to win Vietnam. I had come on to the conspiracy about that time and knew. But very interestingly, on the 20th day of June in 1942, I stood before a recruiting officer and I took an oath. I joined the Marines. I solemnly swear that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the officers appointed over me, so help me God. A year later, plus 8 days, graduating from Pensacola, second lieutenant in the United States Marine Corps, I took a different oath. With the lieutenant colonel standing before the six of us that had chosen to come to the Marine Corps. I solemnly swear to defend the Constitution of these United States against all enemies, foreign or domestic, so help me God. When I took that, I didn't realize that our real enemies are domestic. They're among us. They look like us, they talk like us, and I said last night, they even carry Bibles and misquote Scripture. Well, I thought sometime before I came to Washington, when I had a large computer center in Chicago, I ought to read the Constitution, and I did. And I would suggest that you get a copy. It's available in many forms. You can read it and you can understand it. It was written so that you can understand it. And the older people that can confuse it and don't understand it are on the Supreme Court. And that's a requirement to be appointed. Praise the Lord. Well, after 31 years and three wars, I became highly upset when I found out that the conspiracy was with us. Really, I was observing McNamara and Dean Rusk and Lyndon Baines Johnson and much more, and wondering why on earth did they always do the exact wrong thing if communism was our enemy. You would normally make a mistake in our behalf just once in a while. They never did. And I won't go back through all that because that's introductory. Many, many people, the saying is very true, that the new world order is not new. As near as I can tell, it probably started back in Babylon. But it clearly started with a pronouncement in around the year 10,000 in an excellent book which you can get. It may be even here is The Guardians of the Grail. Yes, so do you have it. I recommend it to you. The Guardians of the Grail. On the very back table. Highly recommend it. It'll open your eyes to a lot of things. And I didn't read it until about a year ago. Well, Abraham Lincoln complained about it. Listen to what Abraham Lincoln had to say about it. This is purely introductory, but it's very important. The money powers prey upon the nation in times of peace and confire against it in times of adversity. It is more despotic than a monarch, more insolent than an autocracy, and more selfish than a bureaucracy. I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and calls me to tremble for the safety of my beloved country. Corporations, Rockefeller, Rothschild, have been enthroned in an era of corruption in high places will follow. And the money power of this country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of people, reads like today. Until the wealth is collected into a few hands and our republic is doomed. He refused to buy his money from the Rothschild Bank of London and they killed him. President Garfield made a similar statement and they killed him. John Fitzgerald Kennedy was going to bypass the unconstitutional Federal Reserve and actually printed some interest-free money and they killed him. Jewish Prime Minister of London, England, 1876, talked about it. Winston Churchill, 1945, talked about it. Woodrow Wilson, he was a dupe. He was used. He was a member of the conspiracy, but he didn't realize how strong it was. He complained about it. Alexander Solzhenitsyn talks about it. Many others. But I want to read you from the first authoritative book. And it tends to be the source document for most other books, and there are a lot of books around entitled The New World Order. Dr. Carol Quigley, Georgetown University, one of our current president's professors, and he even mentioned in his acceptance of the nomination to the Democrat Party convention, and by the way, Glenn and others can tell you that a year before he was ever nominated to the Democrat Party, I stood right here and told you that Bill Clinton would no doubt be the next Democrat nomination. How did I know that? Because he's a member of all the evil conspiracy organizations that we talk about. I could tell you some other. But this book, Tragedy and Hope, is 1,384 pages thick. And Clinton, said that he accepted all that Dr. Quigley taught. And Clinton was also a protege of another conspirator from the great state of Arkansas, J. William Fulbright. And between those two of them, they got him admitted as a Rhodes Scholar in training. But as brilliant as he is, he never completed the required courses. I'll tell you an interesting story. It goes that when he was governor here, they pulled up to a filling station, and here was one of Hillary's old boyfriends pumping gas. And Hillary turned to Bill, or Bill turned to Hillary and says, "See, if you hadn't have married me, you would be married to him and pumping gas." And she said, "No, you got it wrong. If he had married me, he would be governor and you'd be pumping gas." The bumper sticker says, "I didn't vote for him or her." Impeach the president and her husband. Well, she told you that that's what you're going to get, a co-president. She told you that. You get two for the price of one, or at least you get one and a half. But Dr. Quigley, Tragedy and Hope, where it gets its name, he's all for it. He's a member of it. And he said it's a tragedy if we don't help it come to pass, and it's our only hope. They really believe what they're doing is right. Quigley. There does exist and has existed for a generation an international Anglophile network which operates to some extent in the way that the radical right, that's you and me, believe the communists work. In fact, this network, which we will identify as the Roundtable Groups, has no aversion to cooperating with the communists or any other group, and frequently does so. I know of the operations of this network because I have been a part of it and studied it for over 20 years, and for the last 2 years have been permitted to examine its secret records. The American branch of this organization, often called the Eastern Establishment, has played a very significant role in the history of the United States in this last generation. In New York, it's known as the Council on Foreign Relations. The aim of this New World Order is nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands able to dominate the political system of each country and eventually the whole world, end quote. Don't have to interpret that. He didn't even speak in parables. Dr. Sterling, 1988, when Pat Robertson was seeking the presidency, wrote an excellent little book entitled Valley of Decision, trying to tell people who George Bush really was and is. Here's what he says. "Most American Christians have a hard time believing that other Americans could be so evil as to purposely cause wars, wage wars for political and financial gain, lose wars deliberately, aid the other side while our men are dying on the battlefield, just to sink our national sovereignty to prepare America to be just another province in a new world order. Promote collectivism and immorality in order to prepare America for this new world order. To destroy the family and true faith in God in order to break down the final barriers of opposition and purposely undermine the most rewarding economic system that working people and the poor people have ever experienced in all the history of mankind, all just to create the chaos," remember that, "the chaos needed to stampede an entire nation into demanding its own slavery, its own enslavement." Well, you'll see that's true. J. Edgar Hoover, who they're going to great lengths to besmirch, founder and longtime head of the FBI, he said and wrote, "The individual person is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous that he cannot believe that it really exists." Well, they do. Now, there's one thing you have to remember above all. This is taken from a book that was published many years ago by Ralph Epperson entitled The Unseen Hand. And in it, he says this, "There is a huge, extreme, powerful conspiracy at work in the world to achieve absolute and brutal rule and control over the whole human race. This conspiracy is made up of small groups of individuals who control wars, revolutions, depressions, like people control chessmen on a board. These individuals operate in part through secret societies. that are created for specific purposes or events. Listen to this now. The secret within the secret is that they worship Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Freemasonry. Long time part of this whole thing. But the mainline or the rank and file wouldn't know it. But the last Grand Master of the Knights of the Templar, another great man from Arkansas, Albert Pike. Yeah. On July the 14th, 1889, he said, as a matter of policy, that we which must say to the crowd, we worship God, it's a little g, but it is the God that one adores without superstition. To the sovereign inspectors general, we say this, that you may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd and the 31st and the 30th degrees. A lot of names come to mind, but we'll skip them. The Masonic religion, did you hear him? He calls it a religion. Should be, by all us initiates of the higher degrees, maintaining its purity of Luciferian doctrines. The true and pure philosophic religion is the belief in Lucifer, who is equal to Adonai. But Lucifer is the true God of light. He is the good God, and he is struggling for humanity against Adonai, who is the God of darkness and evil, upside down. Well, the Rothschilds, others, you can get that on the other tape, the origin. Why would they worship the devil? Well, we get a clue in the scriptures. Luke 4, verses 5 through 8. The devil took Jesus up onto an high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said unto Jesus, all this power I will give unto you and the glory of them which was given to me and to whomsoever I shall give it, if you will only bow down and worship, all this can be yours. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. It is written, ye shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. That's repeated in Matthew 4:18. So there are some advantages, if you want to go to hell, of serving the God of this group, the devil. In case I forget it, George Bush is a member of the Skull and Bones, which is a Satan-worshipping organization. And when he says, God bless you, he wasn't talking about the God you think he was talking about. Why don't you ask George Bush to say, Jesus is Lord, and see how far you get. Heard a man the other day recommend we kept saying, when people sneeze, say, God bless you. Say, Jesus bless you. Yeah. I'm going to quit calling him Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's Lord Jesus the Christ. Why can't we just simply say Jesus? Absolutely. Then they don't misunderstand. And it drives the devil nuts. Good. Well, the Persian Gulf. Listen to what Read My Lips Bush said. The Persian Gulf crisis is a rare opportunity to forge new bonds with old enemies. A unique and extraordinary movement. Out of these troubled times, a new world order can emerge under the United Nations that will perform as envisioned by its founders. Maybe you don't know it, but its founders were headed by Alger Hiss. He was the chairman. He was an undersecretary of state who was later convicted of lying because he denied that he was not a member of the Communist Party. There were estimated that 16 communists, and we know that the other 34 members were all members of the Council of Foreign Relations working for Rockefeller. So indeed, the United Nations is going to accomplish what its founders intended for it to do. And that is to be the one world government, and you and I finance the building and finance its operation, and the Rockefellers donated the land. The same speechwriters for Mikhail Gorbachev, he said this, peace is a movement toward globality and a universal civilization. To me, it is self-evident that the Soviet perestroika succeeds, there will be a real chance to build a wonderful new world order. Of course, they had the same ghostwriters, named Rockefeller Rothschild, CFR Trilateral Bilderberger, Skull and Bones. We have ceased to be an independent nation. 5 October 1977, James Earl Carter, President of the United States, signed the United Nations Human Rights Treaty. Doesn't that sound great? The Human Rights Treaty. Every president since 1948 had refused to sign that document because once that document was signed and approved by the Senate or ratified by the Senate, this nation would cease to be a free nation. It didn't do anything until finally Bush resubmitted it to the Senate. And the second day of April, 1992, the United States City Senate, by a voice vote, so you'll never know who voted for it and who voted against it, ratified the Human Rights Treaty, and we ceased to be a nation at that time. That's the reason our military is being turned over to the United Nations, and we'll get into all of that all along the way, all in violation of the Constitution. A lawyer the other day I heard speak was really shook me. He got a call because they knew he was a lawyer and he wanted a law library, and they called him a friend from the capital of the state with which he lives and told him that they were throwing away the whole law library at the state capitol. And rather than destroy it, he could come and get it if he wanted it. And he was shocked to find out there are no laws of the United States since 1945. 45 was the last year that we were a sovereign nation. That's when the United Nations actually came into existence. And through executive orders, we ceased to exist. Well, that's enough of the introduction. God does have everything under control. I have that at the top of most of the pages. Not for you, but for me. You know, being a Marine, we always had the slogan, when you're ever in doubt, attack straight ahead. And when you make contact, don't turn loose. Never dig in. Keep them going. Jeremiah 25:9. Many years ago I read this, I couldn't believe it. The Lord said, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, shall utterly destroy Jerusalem. Do we dare say, Bill Clinton, my servant? Don't know. On the tape, The World Conspiracy, we give you scriptures that show that there is to be a one world government. If you want to know how horrendous these people are, Global 2000, from a committee of 300, appointed because they wanted to know about what the population should be. And this group made a study and determined that between about 1986, when that study was completed, between then and the year 2000, 2 billion non-productive eaters would have to die. Non-productive eaters. If you've retired and on Social Security, how much are you producing? Cheer up, it's going to get worse. Revelation 22:11. If you can remember nothing else in these days, remember this. Revelation 22:11. Jesus says, I come very soon. When you see the wicked being more wicked, the filthy being more filthy, the unjust being more unjust, but right alongside you'll see the righteous being more righteous and the holy being more holy. Glory to God. Many ways to kill 2 billion people. Look at those that are starving at the rate of 50,000 a day. Almost as many are being aborted. In the United States today, we're up to 40% of all pregnancies being terminated in abortion. Out of Glenn Miller's paper, The Shedding of Innocent Blood. And when a nation does that, it's doomsday. One of the biggest steps they had, and may turn out to be most effective in getting rid of the non-productive eaters, was the World Health Organization, abbreviated WHO, took a bovine virus and re-engineered it to create the AIDS virus, which would infect people with no known cure. And they put it in the smallpox vaccination serums and then vaccinated most of the continent of Africa. And 40 to 50% of all the African people today are HIV positive. They're non-productive eaters. They're eating up the conspiracy's wealth, all the natural resources of Africa. excellent book by Dr. William Campbell Douglas, Who Murdered Africa, WHO, World Health Organization Murdered Africa. Well, Bill Clinton, as soon as he arrived in the White House, immediately, the third day he was in the White House, he signed 5 executive orders, most of them unconstitutional, but when they end up in martial law, the Supreme Court doesn't have any power, neither the legislature, and that's where we're going headed. When I say that's where we're going, I mean that's where they intend to go. I don't know what the outcome will be. Here was one. He permitted the bodies of the aborted babies to be used in experiments. Second, he lifted the restriction on abortion counseling in the federally funded clinics. And three, he began to process the importation of abortion pills, the RU486, which actually is an abortion pill. Four, he moved to lift the ban on homosexuals in the military. Five, he provided federal fund for abortions in the military hospitals. But thank God the military doctors are refusing to do it. A real blessing also, there were two, a Lieutenant Colonel Snyder in the Marine Corps, and I forget the name of the colonel in the Army, who refused to go to Desert Storm because the Constitution, by no stretch of the imagination, was threatened over there. That whole war was in behalf of British Petroleum. Every time you see a BP gas station, for heaven's sake, don't buy any gas. In Ohio, we no longer have SoHi, Standard Oil Ohio, we have BP, British Petroleum, Rothschild. There's so many things run through your mind. But they want to destroy the families. These are some of their objectives. They want to destroy the family, get rid of the Social Security and all the other things that go on inside a home, take the children away from you. That's one of the objectives, is to get control of the children away from their parents. Take control. This whole thing is about control. To control every aspect of your life. Bill and Hillary's goal of a socialist change agent for the New World Order and the New Age. Don't forget it. To get rid of Bill Clinton, you got New Age Al Gore, as Rush Limbaugh called him, Al Gore. By the way, Al Gore, the son of another senator, were all sponsored and they never worked a day in their life, and they got their money from Armand Hammer, whose father was one of the founders, Communist Party, USA. And Armand Hammer died a couple of years ago, and the man who took over his place as the liaison between the United States and the communist government was Duane Andres, Archer Daniels Midland. So every time we sell any agricultural products, I always say ADM gets a big piece of the action. And that's where Al Gore came from. He's a wild-eyed tree hugger, and he'd rather see you dead than a spotted owl. And we'll tell you so. They want to bankrupt. They want to destroy the military. They want to destroy the health system, one of the best in the world. They want to destroy pension funds. They want to destroy Social Security. They want to take away private property. Private property is being confiscated by the billions of dollars in the United States today. And to destroy the family. You'll always find that. And these socialists will install judges throughout the whole United States in their 4 years of their office that will be next to impossible to ever remove. Gun control, homosexuals at all levels of the government. Janet Reno is a well-established lesbian. The head of the Lawyers Bar Association in Florida wanted to come forward and testify before her hearings for confirmation, and they refused to hear him. He is a man of stature, but they didn't in the least hesitate to take one woman of questionable character to testify against Judge Thomas, who was a believing Christian and all of that. And, of course, well, they're certainly not going to hear the people that would testify against Clinton and his activities. with women. In fact, one of the women was coming forward and going to and never got to do it because they found her with her head cut off and ruled it as suicide. Worst case of suicide they'd ever seen in the state of Arkansas. They want to control the education of the United States in all places. And it'll most important to tear the education down, just as most of the leftist progression toward LBJ's Great Society, FDR's Recovery Act, Social Security, all those. You never get rid of any of those things. They keep them. They become entitlements, as they say. 80% of our budget is eaten up with entitlements. But by the middle of next year, the interest on the national debt will take all the tax revenue. Of course, we've been essentially bankrupt for many years in the strictest terms. And it's impossible to break those things down. Well, let's talk about communism and Nazis. There's no difference between communism and the liberals. Absolutely none. In fact, in 1988, the head of the Communist Party USA, Gus Hall, issued a statement, and it was put in the Daily Worker, or whatever the name of their magazine is now, that he and Angela Davis would no longer run on the national ticket for president and vice president because, get this, you Democrats, they found no difference between their objectives and those of the Democrat Party. And so they will now work through the Democrat Party. I've said and I'll say again, on the national level, if you'll read the Democrat platform, and it's not Democratic, it's the Democrat platform. Nothing democratic about it. It's the Democrat platform. It's against everything that God is for, and it's for everything that God's against. And shame you for it. The Republican Party is not much better, but at least they put something in writing that appeals. These people, they all operate the same because they have the identical form and substance, and the main central is that they all reject God. The communists, the Nazis, and the liberals. Contemporary Americans are in it. Nazism, communism, and contemporary American liberalism share the same absolute premise, and they reject God and His authority. Here are some of the things that's very interesting to study. You know, it's been well said, those that are not aware of history are destined to repeat history. And there's only one thing we can learn from history, and that is we don't learn anything from history. We just keep going round and round in circles, keep reinventing the wheel. Hitler and his whole regime was preoccupied with death. They instituted a great number of abortions. In fact, at one time in the 20s and 30s, abortion rate in Germany was even higher than America today, where 40% of the conceptions end in abortion in the United States. And they instituted euthanasia. Before they ever started the so-called Holocaust, they had already killed around 275,000 to 300,000 sick old folks, crippled and retarded people, and others that were just a burden on society. They did all that before the Holocaust. They created thousands of laws and regulations to control everything you did, all the way through. They were all very well caught up in Satan worship and occultism. All the Third Reich was that. Very clear. They were preoccupied with animal rights. That gave them the freedom to kill a lot of people and the pretense of... I saw a little cartoon the other day, a little baby seal that says, quit killing baby people. And, of course, they ignored their constitution. We no longer live by a constitution. They rejected their heritage. People aren't even talking about it. One of the history books that was reviewed a while back in a fifth grade down in Texas had more to say about Marilyn Monroe than it did about George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. Hitler used homosexuals and drug addicts and their criminal elements to destabilize the country and to advance the Nazi political machine. We're doing that now. Our law enforcement in some areas are actually working with the gangs, making deals with the gangs. They're actually federalizing them, actually supporting them. Well, this is deliberate. They know what they're doing. As Franklin Delano Roosevelt said in national and international affairs, nothing happens by accident. It's all planned. So they reject their heritage. They don't know it. And Hitler used the homosexuals. Very interesting, after he had used them to destabilize the whole thing and bring him to power to end the whole thing, he did. He set his brown shirts out as stormtroopers. And in June of 1934, and over the next 2 years, they killed all of the homosexuals and the others that had caught it. So they took care of the problem. By the way, as Jesse Helm says, the homosexuals, the sodomites, have to have your children because they do not reproduce. They want your children. But there's a bigger plan for the conspiracy, because the AIDS epidemic spreads rapidly through the homosexual community. And with them not reproducing, the population will decrease rather rapidly. And besides, the medical industry, from the time the AIDS is actually manifest from the HIV virus, actually collect about $250,000, $250,000, of your money and my money through Medicaid. It's a money-making operation, plus it's doing great damage. It's the first disease with a civil right. If you had smallpox, they'd quarantine you, and that's not deadly. If you had gonorrhea, they'd quarantine you, and that's not deadly. But here's a disease that's deadly, and they don't treat it the way they do in Cuba and the Soviet Union and other places. They treat them as lepers and put them in a separate area and let them die off. We've gotten so stupid about individuals' rights that the mass population, the general public, has no rights. And if you don't think so, just get mugged. The guy that mugged you will be out of jail before you get out of the hospital. My hero today was the little lady down south. Did you see that on the news? 112 years old. She came to the door, and here was a big man, and said he was coming in. And she said, "No, you're not." And she reached out and grabbed him by the groin and jerked him around, and he went all screaming. And they interviewed her on television and asked her about it and said, "Well, he'd be glad I didn't have my gun." Hallelujah. Go for it, lady. You thought that was going to be easy picking. Of course, Hillary and Bill want your children. Nancy Reagan told the children, "Just say no to drugs." Barbara Bush says, "Just say no to illiteracy." Hillary Clinton says, "Just say no to your parents." She's heard what she has to say about the family. Children's Defense Fund. If you raise your children in the proper nurture, you're a child abuser, and they can take your kids away from you. That's being done. That's not theoretical. And all they need is one anonymous telephone call, and they got your kids. And you'll have to prove that you were innocent. Look at Waco, and we'll get to that if we have time. Children are being described as children abusers. Mandated government inoculations. When we get the medical card, your shot record will be on it, the smart card and all of that. And if you have not been inoculated and or done all the other things the government requires, and if you're not a non-productive eater, of course, if you're a non-productive eater and you end into the computer, you'll die, because they just won't give you any medical aid at all. That's the whole plan. But for the others, you will not be allowed to fly on airplanes. You won't be able to do anything else, because you may be carrying some horrible disease, because you weren't inoculated. There's a lot of indication that inoculations are not all what they cracked up to be. In fact, the government knows it, and they even have a compensation plan for people that are almost destroyed, and many are, through these inoculations, and they compensate for it if you can put a price on human life. Well, from this cradle to the grave computerized tracking, they'll have absolute control. many things. Homeschooling. Glory to God, there are about 1 million homeschools. That's the only hope of our nation. But boy, they want to stop that for sure, and they're going to make a maximum effort. But hang in there and see to it. There's a man, I've forgotten his name, he wrote an excellent book entitled To Pray or Not to Pray. He was a statistician, and he saw in his lifetime what had occurred between the America he knew and the America today. And he started out collecting government figures, and he found in 1963 this nation started becoming unraveled in any way you want to look at it. And he went back and found out why. Because in 1962, the children could no longer pray in school. They couldn't say, God bless our teacher. God bless our governor. God bless our nation and its leaders. Amen. Isn't that an obnoxious prayer? Well, children's rights. The United Nations has one for that. And you will not be able to violate your child's privacy. You won't even be able to go into his room. You won't be able to know if they've had an abortion. You'll be invading their privacy. You have to provide an adequate time of leisure. No chores otherwise. Where were they when I was a kid? Man. Getting up in the morning, milking 5 cows and slopping the hogs and building the fires, and I thought I was liberated because I was being fed regularly. Boy, this system of Joe Stalin, Adolf Hitler, and Mao Zedong would say, amen, this is great. Well, I want to cover, and nothing would be complete without covering this. There is an intimidation move afoot to intimidate you that you will surrender, you will not resist. And a man who I know, and he knows me, by the name of Lieutenant Colonel Bo Grites, not Grips, it's Grites, G-R-I-T-Z. And he's the most decorated man in the Vietnam War, has an excellent book entitled Call to Serve, and really good. But he was in Idaho when that debacle occurred. He was called. Now, there was a man by the name of Weaver, a Vietnam veteran, Green Beret, Special Forces, just had had it up to the eyeballs with the world, and he wanted to get away from the world, and so he went up into the mountains of Idaho at a place called Ruby Ridge. Built a little plywood shack, called it a home, had 3 children, one in his mother's arms, and no, 4 children, 2 daughters, one in his mother's arm, and a 12-year-old boy. Another Vietnam veteran by the name of Harris was also disgusted. He was a single man. He came and was building a place down the mountain, not bothering a soul, not doing anything. I don't have time to go into how the FBI got him, but anyway, the courts acquitted him because it was all a rigged show. And all the news media called him a white separatist. Isn't that awful? 2 things that made him awful. He's white, and he's a separatist. Well, Daniel Boone was a white separatist. Every time he got 50 people in town, he was a crowd, and he moved on. Most of my folks, well, anyway, they're all a bunch of separatists. They wanted to be left alone. Is that a crime in our country? Yeah, it is, because it might get to be popular. So, one morning, just before sunup, the dog starts barking. His 12-year-old son picks up a gun, rifle, because they think it might be a deer and they need some meat. And he goes out the door, and Harris goes out the door with him a rifle also. Well, the 12-year-old boy heads for the dog, and all of a sudden the shot rings out, and his dog drops dead. Well, the kid fired in the direction that the shot came from and turned to run to the house, and they killed him dead, shot him right through the back. Harris saw what was happening, and he fired in that direction where the fire came from, and he headed for the house too. And he went over to the boy, took the boy's body in, And then he went to the house, and as he opened the door to go in the house, another shot rung out. Ms. Weaver opened the door to let him in, and another sniper's bullet from a high-powered rifle blew her brains out, and she held her 18-month child. And for 11 days, her body laid under a table with her children there. What would you have done in such a case? No one was ever identified as even the police or whatnot. In fact, Weaver ran for sheriff in that county and was almost elected. Obviously an evil man. Well, they were going to kill him. It came out in the trial, they were going to kill him. They had orders to kill him, because that would put the fear of God in the rest of us wimps. And they were going to do as they did at Waco. They flew over with a helicopter with one of these things, you know, that they fight forest fires and drop water. Except this one was loaded with gasoline. Bo Greit said you could smell it. And they were going to drop it on the house and no more evidence. But they have to look up the hill, and here was a reporter with a camcorder taking a picture. So they had to change their plans and flew away. Well, Bo Greit finally convinced them they should come out. Bo Greit had papers typed up and placed all the group, including the leader of this BATF bunch, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Group, placing them under citizen's arrest for murder, trespassing and murder. That still has to come out. No crime. The jury found no crime and cleared them. The fellow that defended them never presented any witnesses. He just let the government ramble on. Actually, the agent that was killed by another agent. That was clearly established. In fact, I don't know that anybody did any shooting after the original fire that got the dog killed and the boy killed. And that is from the Weavers. And they came out. But at the conclusion, this lawyer, who charged no fee, multimillionaire lawyer, you've seen him on TV, wears a cowboy hat. He said, indeed, there was a murder committed at Ruby Ridge, but the murderers are not present today, nor are they being charged. And then he pointed out the holes in the evidence. They withheld evidence. They changed evidence. They couldn't even get their stories right. It was very clear that one agent shot the other agent and all of that. And finally, they had to say it. But because they didn't get to torch the house, they still cremated the boy and the mother, so there would be no evidence on that. Waco, the big lot. There's an excellent video on this. They wanted the publicity of Waco. The intimidation. They'd been working on it for 8 months. Even had a mock-up of the so-called compound. Your church can be called a compound. Don't forget that, too. The homosexuals can storm your church, and the police will stand by and do nothing. Witness that occurring out in California. They even sacked a federal building with the police standing by because Pete Wilson would not give the homosexuals special rights. Not equal rights. They have equal rights. But special rights. So they notified, all the papers carried the story the day before the whole thing started. It was all set up. Well, to make it very brief, there was no crime committed there. They were actually charged of no crime. It was alleged that they had some illegal weapons. That was the only thing that they had. But one thing you never heard was that the sheriff of Leland County, McClellan County, Waco, he said he had received numerous complaints of child abuse, 3 to be exact, as he later said, it was 3. They've been there since 1934. They were a designated tax-exempt house of worship and a church, just like your church. They love God. And since when is it to have a doctrine that differs with yours? Or do you believe in the rapture? And the sheriff said that the 3 times that somebody gave an anonymous tip that the children were being abused and they had a large stockpile of weapons, he simply phoned and said, we have these allegations And I would like your permission to come in without a search warrant and see what's going on. But if you insist, I'll get a search warrant. And the leader at those times, no problem, come on out. And they searched and found it all a hoax. The children were well taught, far better than in the public schools, the government schools, and so forth, and no illegal weapons. But they wanted to make an example. And they finally torched the place. They loaded it with CS, that's a gas we used over in Vietnam, and its carrier was kerosene. And the video will show that you never saw on TV that they punched holes in the wall and finally with a flame-throwing tank torched the building off. You can see the tank belching fire out to set it off. And the place went up. They waited till they had a 30-mile-an-hour wind, and when they got that wind, they torched the place. Killing 86 people, known 86 people, many of them women and children. And Janet Reno, our lesbian attorney general, said that the leader of that group was responsible for their deaths. How sick can you get? The FBI and the BATF were out of their dominion. They didn't have any dominion down there. If there was a violation, the sheriff would take care of it. And they had no reason to be there. And had they not come there, 86 people at least, now they believe there were probably 30 more people above the 86 that were in there, would still be alive today. How many of you heard the goofy stuff that David Brandt, the Davidian, or whatever his name was, yeah, David Koresh said he was God? Well, that's a lie, because in this Waco, the big live video, they actually went back and got the original video that a news commentator made, and they were asking him about various things, and they said, and he was answering their questions. And they said, we also understand that you made a woman 72-year-old pregnant, and she brought forth a child. And he laughed, you know, 72 years old, slightly beyond menopause. And her name wasn't Sarah. And he laughed, and he says, you must think I'm God. Well, the news media only put the part, I'm God. But they cut off, you must think I'm God. Well, they show it. You know, they do that. General Westmoreland found that out. They even took film out of sin context and made him look bad. However, he stuck him for $250,000. And he agreed that he wouldn't tell how much, but he can. So wake up. There's a group down there, as they are in Idaho, that are beginning to file papers charging Clinton, Reno, and the fellow on the site for murder. The government is not above the law. Well, who said it wasn't? They have been for a long time. Waco, intimidation. See, they're testing. They're testing to see how much you will tolerate. It's very interesting that a great leader by the name of Jerry Falwell said they shouldn't have waited 40 days. They should have torched them in the first week. His logic is they weren't Baptists. By the way, I'll also tell you that Jerry Falwell and his group spent $22 million to defeat Pat Robertson for the presidential. Because he says speaking in tongues is the devil, and I got him on tape. And he doesn't believe in miracles because that all died with the last apostle. He probably preaches the power of God petered out when Peter petered out. Amen. Sick. Well, they're going to accelerate gun control. This last bill that was just passed is an abortion. It's awful. Well, you said it didn't do a whole lot. Well, it did. Assault weapons. Well, what do you think the people that fought for the independence of this country were carrying? They weren't carrying spears and shields. They were carrying the present day of that day an assault rifle. I saw a cartoon the other day of the Minuteman, you know, with his rifle ready to go. He's standing there with a hole in his hand. Or for. The other one is a British guy in his suit in the Revolution days, and he's standing there looking at this farmer with the big rifle that was taller than the farmer, and the Britisher is saying, "What need do you have for an assault weapon?" Same thing. A government that can't trust its people with guns can't be trusted. The big propaganda about guns are killing people. No, it's a true statement. People kill people. And they ignore statistics. Did you know that as near as the FBI and the others can tell, and look at the figures, somewhere around 2 million robberies and muggeries are prevented every year because an individual had a gun. They don't have robbers in Switzerland where every house has a man who served in the military and he has a rifle in the closet and he knows how to use it and he's required to have it there. There are at least four cities that I can look up and name to you if you want to that issued an edict that anyone who wanted to receive training in the proper use of a handgun would come down and the city would train them in it and authorize them to have it. And guess what? Crime in those cities dropped by 80%. Did you know that the cities, New York, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles have the most strict gun control laws in Miami of all the cities in the United States? And guess what? They're at the top of the list of crime and murder and whatnot because they know the population is disarmed. Coming from the mountains of Virginia, where every pickup had at least two rifles and a shotgun hanging in the pickup, the bumper sticker was, "Good gun control requires a firm grip." "Or they'll get my gun when they pry my dead fingers off it." And they live down there where the people make their living cutting timber, and it says if you're hungry, if you're out of work and hungry, eat an ecologist. We may joke about good old Joe Sixpack, but you can push him so far, and then that redneck is going to get red, and man, you better back off, man. The American people are not known for being moderate. You can push them so far, and then they become rather brutal. A good friend of mine worked with him, Bill Webster, so my good friend, I forget his name. But he was deputy director of Bill, come to mind, he was deputy director of FBI, and I was deputy director of the Marine Corps Reserve at 283 training stations all over the United States. Bill Webster was his name, little freckle-faced Irishman. And he once said to a group of colonels that were responsible for the security in the hinterlands of the Marines or federal troops, he said, "I hate to tell you this, but one of these days, if history repeats, the American people will get to the point that they will overreact, and you and I will find ourselves trying to protect the sodomites, the rioters, and the others because it will be our duty." Bill Webster wouldn't shut up about what happened in Dallas, and he was killed in a hunting accident. There's probably about one eyewitness left. She wrote a book, The Last Living Eyewitness of JFK. And she's right on. I've explained what I knew about it, and she is right on. I liked the book because it confirmed what I'd been saying. So it's going to be a time of crisis. How is it going to come to be? Well, very simple. They will create an emergency. Remember, we're out of gas, out of fuel. I told people that was a lie. Because in the military, we take account of all that stuff. We had enough. If you didn't punch another hole in 1972, we had more than enough oil within the United States to last us through the year 2020. And then the next year, they said we're out of fuel. Well, so they created the Department of Energy. How much oil did the Department of Energy create? About as much education as the Department of Education created. All it does is gobble up money. Well, you're on the hit list. You're the number one target. You are a Christian. You believe the Bible. You believe Jesus is going to return. And the CAN, the Cult Awareness Network, who put the finger on Waco, has defined what the enemies are, and you're worse than anything. The words they use for the radical religious right is very clean compared to what they call you. And you are a cult, and you're ready to be hit. One of the things was that you give money regularly to one of these cults, and you get nothing in return. See, they don't think you get anything in return. And they're out to destroy the tax-exempt status of churches. You could go on down. Well, it's following everything that Hitler followed just prior to. And one of the most striking things is the fact that Dodd, Senator Dodd, who was the son of previous Dodd, his father was in the Nuremberg trials in Germany, so he had all the documents of Hitler's bit and how Hitler got the guns. Every country that's ever gone into a dictatorship and lost their freedom, they had to remove the guns first. And so Christopher Dodd, current senator, actually had the Hitler's gun control law translated into English, and that's the one they're pushing to get through. They started with the Brady Bill. That opens the door. The crime bill will not stop crime because the government's involved in the dope traffic. There's too much money. That's the reason they'll never stop dope. It's a moneymaker. Glenn called me and told about a book, Compromised, and there's an excellent video entitled The Clinton Chronicles of a man that was involved in it. And Arkansas was the center of the dope traffic, and a parking meter outfit down here was making gun parts and laundering money. And the man was involved in it, and he knows what Whitewater was all about, and he has given his paper to all the people that are on the committee of the Whitewater, but they'll never call him to testify, and he has firsthand information. Boy, the things that Clinton did make Watergate pale. And Watergate, as the bumper sticker said, nobody drowned in Watergate. How about Chappaquiddick? Or have you forgotten that Ted Kennedy drowned your secretary and did nothing? Can you imagine what they'd have done to Richard Nixon or Goldwater if they drowned their secretary on a drunken brawl? Can you imagine what they'd have done to Nixon if he had a protege of about 12 women that had all been to bed with him? See, there's a double standard. The news media agrees with this sort of thing, but only 8% of the news media even believe there is a God. Well, there are many, many things we could say. One is the scriptures. Woe unto them who call good evil and evil good. Isn't that something? Proverbs 17:15. He who justifies the wicked and who condemns the righteous, both are an abomination unto the Lord. Proverbs 16:9, and this is reassuring. Man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.